Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Monarch butterfly populations have nearly doubled this year. Although it's certainly welcome news, scientists say it's still the fifth lowest number of monarchs on record. Karen Oberhauser is the co-founder and co-director of the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project. She says habitat loss, climate change, and the use of pesticides are to blame for the population decline. Lake Effect's Exgrit Nunez is joined by Oberhauser to learn how monarchs are doing in Wisconsin this summer and ways people can help conserve them.
The Monarch Larva Monitoring Project is a community science project based at the UW-Madison Arboretum. Can you tell me more about the work that it does?
Sure. We have volunteers all over the monarch's breeding range, which includes parts of Canada, most of the United States, and northern Mexico. And volunteers go out once a week and look at a local milkweed patch. It can be in their yard or a nature center or a pristine prairie somewhere. And they look at as many milkweed plants as they have time for. And they keep track of how many monarch eggs and caterpillars they see on these plants. So with their data, we can see how the population is doing throughout the course of the breeding season. And we can also measure things like survival. So we can look at the absolute numbers of eggs that are being laid, which is a measure of the size of the adult population. But we can look at survival through the egg and larval period of the life cycle. So we really get good real-time data of how the population is doing in the summer. And some of our volunteers collect some of the larvae that they find and they bring them into their homes and rear them. And from that, we can measure parasitism rates and survival in more detail than we can just by recording what the volunteers are seeing outside. But most of our volunteers only do looking at the plants and counting the eggs and caterpillars.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And what are some of the factors that have hurt monarch populations over the years and the threats that they continue to face?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different things that are threatening monarchs, and they're the same things that are threatening other butterflies, other insects, other organisms in general. The biggest one is probably habitat loss. The vast majority of the central part of the United States was prairie, and that was perfect monarch habitat. So there was a lot of habitat available to them. And then with the encroachment of settlers and people coming and taking all that prime prairie land and turning it into farmland, we lost a lot of habitat. And now that's continuing with urban sprawl. So habitat loss is a really big driving factor. But monarchs and other insects are also really tightly tied to weather. And we know that weather conditions are changing with climate change. And what we're finding is that the conditions that are currently more prevalent and that are predicted to become even more prevalent, hot, dry conditions, followed by sometimes really intense periods of rain instead of kind of leveled out over the course of a summer, those are hard for monarchs. So weather extremes. And probably the other biggest thing is pesticide use. For instance, when there's insect control in a yard, maybe to control mosquitoes, that is a general insecticide that's being sprayed. So that will kill all insects, including monarchs and butterflies and beneficial insects, the ones that might be eating the mosquitoes. So there's residential and then broad-scale pesticide use for agriculture. So those are probably the three biggest drivers: climate change, habitat loss, and pesticide use, specifically insecticide use.
Yeah, and I can see how these factors all kind of work together too. And, you know, people are familiar with monarch butterflies as an insect that's absolutely stunning, but why are they ecologically important?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Excarit. There are roles that monarchs play in the ecosystem. They are pollinators. They're herbivores that the larvae provide food for other animals further up the food chain. But monarchs are not specialist pollinators like Bees are really efficient pollinators. And when a bee goes out to forage for the day, it often goes to one kind of plant. It has specialized hairs on its body for carrying pollen. And monarch pollination is a little more haphazard than that. So when we talk about why monarchs should be conserved, it's a little more nuanced. So for one thing, we are responsible for the decline of monarchs. So some people would say that we have an ethical reason, so it's up to us to fix it. Another reason is that people really care about monarchs and they build connections between humans and the natural world. So a lot of people only recognize monarchs. They don't recognize any other insect. The connections that people build with monarchs are good for conservation in general. So monarchs are kind of this bridge that can benefit the natural world.
Absolutely. And I want to switch over to talk about this report that came out from the World Wildlife Foundation. And in this report, it says that this year's monarch butterfly population has nearly doubled compared to last year. So I was wondering if you could explain these findings and what caused the shift.
That's a great question. And if people can imagine in their head kind of an EKG, an erratic EKG, where the numbers are going up and down. But if we imagine the monarch population size, it's ups and downs, but an overall downward trend, kind of like a slowing down heartbeat. So we can explain the ups and downs by weather conditions. But the long downward trend is probably driven by the factors that we talked about, a kind of long-term climate change, which is different than year-to-year variation. Also loss of habitat and probably pesticide use as well. So over the last decade, the monarch population average has been about a quarter of what it used to be when we first started measuring them. Last year, before we got this uptick, was the second lowest on record over more than 30 years of record keeping. So we did almost double from last year, but that doubling was still the fifth lowest on record. So it's a lot easier for the population to tick up when it was so low the previous year. What we think probably happened is that the fall migration was better. The numbers in the upper Midwest where we are were pretty similar between the summer of 2023 and the summer of 2024. But monarchs had probably a more successful fall migration. The weather conditions as they were migrating to Mexico were better. So the population size went up in Mexico. And I should note here that that report that you mentioned that came out from the World Wildlife Fund Mexico. Monarchs are measured in Mexico because that's when the whole population or almost all of the population is together in one place. But the way that we measure monarchs is not in numbers of monarchs, it's in area. People actually go out and measure the area that's covered with trees that have monarchs in them. So that's what went up, it's the area of trees covered with monarchs.
That's so interesting. I'm like imagining football-sized fields of monarchs right now.
Yeah, and it is about the size of two football fields is where all those monarchs were found. So it's kind of an incredibly small area when you think of it. But it's not just those two contiguous football fields. It's 12 areas that are spread out, sometimes separated by several kilometers. So it's a couple trees here and a couple trees there and a couple trees on another mountaintop. So they're looking in Mexico for very specific conditions. They're fairly high on the mountains. These are mountains that are, they're called the transvolcanic mountains that go east and west across Mexico. And monarchs are going to the peaks of those mountains, the tops of the mountains where conditions are just right for their winter survival.
And something that I've recently seen a few nature centers in the Milwaukee area report that community science volunteers have noticed an increase in monarch sightings. But I'm curious, what have you been seeing in Wisconsin so far this year?
Well, it's a little early to see. It felt like I was hearing from a lot of people and what I was seeing is the first generation did not seem very big. We didn't see a lot in terms of either butterflies or their eggs and caterpillars in the first generation. So numbers were a little low, not that much lower than the last couple of years, and we don't have all the data in yet, but they were either the same or slightly lower than they had been the last couple of years. But right now we're starting to get an uptick again. So if people right now are feeling like they're seeing more monarchs, it's because they're starting to see that new generation. So I would predict that they'll see more and more and more through kind of the third week in July. The population will be increasing, and then the numbers will start going back down as those adults die off and before we get the migratory generation. So we are on an increase right now. So if people are seeing that, that's great. That means they're out in the natural world and making observations. So that's a good sign that they're seeing more.
Absolutely. And that leads me to my next question. Like, what does an ideal habitat for monarchs look like?
Sure, I love that question because it can look like a lot of different things. It needs the basics. It needs flowers for the adults to provide nectar for the adults because the adults have a relatively long life for an insect. They live 4 to 6 weeks, so they need to eat flowers. It needs milkweed because that's all that the caterpillars can eat. So the female butterflies, female monarchs lay their eggs on milkweed plants. So nectar plants and milkweed. And the milkweed can be many, there are many different species. We have 12 species of milkweed that are native in Wisconsin, so it doesn't have to just be common milkweed. Then the other things are no pesticides, so there can't be any insecticide use in the habitat. So a great monarch habitat could look like a container garden. It can look like a small backyard garden, maybe a 10-foot by 10-foot garden, as long as it has those components. Or it can be a 40-acre prairie, or it can be a roadside or the right of way on a railroad track. So it can be anything in between there. And as long as it has those basic conditions of plant availability for the adults and caterpillars and no pesticide use, it can be a great monarch habitat. So people can help monarchs with a relatively small amount of space. Monarchs are just fine in your city yard or even your container garden.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some people might think that raising monarchs at home might be helpful, but is that true, or what do you think?
Yeah. So we do have a lot of people that feel like, okay, the population is going down. I know that there's a lot of mortality, and there is only about 5% of the eggs that are laid survive to adulthood. So they think, well, we should just raise monarchs to help them. Raising monarchs can be good for several reasons. It can teach us more if people report their data to the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project. It's very easy. If you bring in a monarch, you can report what happens to it, and we learn about monarchs, and that helps us preserve them. Raising a monarch connects people to monarchs, making them more concerned about monarchs and other insects in the natural world. But monarch scientists, including me, do not recommend that people raise monarchs if their goal is to help the population. And there are many reasons for that, but there are some risks. First of all, raising them inside, or even if you have them on a porch, can affect their exposure to natural light conditions. And we know that at the end of the summer, those monarchs that are going to migrate, if they aren't exposed to exactly the right conditions, they have less success in migrating. Raising monarchs can also, if they're not raised carefully, can result in disease. So even if the monarchs survive, they might have transmitted disease from one to the other. And the other problem with thinking we can help monarchs by rearing a lot is we're just rearing them into a world that doesn't have enough habitat for them and that might have pesticides. So in order to solve the problem of the decline in monarch numbers, what we really need to do is address the things that cause the problem. And it wasn't survival, kind of natural predators that caused the problem. It was loss of habitat and pesticides and climate. So we're just raising these monarchs and releasing them back into a world that's not good for them. So what I recommend, I don't say that people should not rear any monarchs, because I raise some monarchs every summer, I report them to the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project. I love raising them. I share them with my grandchildren and my neighbors. So I don't want to sound like I'm saying never rear monarchs, but the reason for rearing them should not be to help the population because it doesn't.
Well, thank you, Karen, so much for speaking with me today. I really appreciated learning more about our monarch butterflies and how to care for them.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Karen Oberhauser is the co-founder and co-director of the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project. She's also the former director of UW-Madison's Arboretum. She spoke with Lake Effect's Axgrit Nunez.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.